What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock in high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes, Mark?
Yeah, different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, B. The C, the D, that's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague, Hour 2 on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, 1080 AM, and YouTube.com/1080AM, The Fan. It is exactly Trump time. It's Trump time o'clock.
Are you smoking crack?
Selling watches, man. Inaugurations on Monday. Gotta take care of the important
I need to know
issues.
What time it is.
How do you not know what time it is?
My watch won't work.
What time does the inauguration begin? If I don't have that watch, I'm not going to be able to know. I won't be able to tell. Never heard that before. I've been here a long time. That was interesting.
I have a sixth grade history teacher. I'd love to ask him back in the day what he would have thought of hearing that.
Ronald Reagan doing radio ads. Why don't you buy my shoes? You ever get your Reagan sneakers?
Trump does have shoes.
He does have shoes and watches and commemorative coins and NFTs. He's got them all.
It's a local coffee shop by my house I go to, and I'm not kidding. The last three times, there's been a guy in there at the same time as me with a MAGA hat, and yeah. I want to know next time I'm in there. Is it Trump time?
Did you get your Trump watch yet? Is it Trump time for you?
If he's wearing the hat, I might ask him, like, yo, you get that watch yet?
Trump time? Trump time for you? Trump time for me? Trump time for America on Monday.
Happy birthday, Dirt.
It's Trump time for everybody, man.
We have a lot to get into today. We've gone way past Trump time now.
Let's get off of Trump time and back on to normal time here. How about that?
I got a question. Actually, I don't have a question. There's a college football coach that has a question.
Like, I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Great question, Ryan.
Where the hell is Lou? Where's that old bastard at?
He's in an office, and he's got a take for the Natty.
And Coach Day does not get the credit he should deserve for the tremendous accomplishments he's had. However, they have the highest paid NIL. They have a great team. They're very talented on offense and defense. The list goes on and on. But I believe the University of Notre Dame will prevail in this football game.
What?
Not because we have the best football team.
No.
But I think we have the best culture. Mm. Culture will beat talent each and every time. I think that Ohio State has great quarterback, great receivers. But if we have them sitting on the bench, they can't do much damage to us. How do we have that happen? We got to be able to run the football. The old cheer, first and 10, do it again, has great meaning in this football game. Notre Dame just has to be very, very patient, play their own game, and don't try to impress anybody. Let's just get a first and 10. Next thing you know, you'll be in the fourth quarter. It'll be a very close game. Ohio State's not used to being in a real close football game. Notre Dame is, and I think if Notre Dame would just stay with their belief, they will find a way to win.
First and 10. Do it again.
That's all you got. Just do it over and over again, and you end up winning the game. What was all that it takes?
How did the Texas Ohio State game
go? That was a close game. Yeah, that was a close game. First Oregon game was a close game. Michigan game was a close game. Penn State game was a close game. Nebraska game was a close game.
I think I want to get that tattooed on my back. First and 10. Do it again.
Do it again, baby.
It is a tramp
stamp. Next to punts, punts, punts.
Just getting football phrases tattooed in random spots would be hilarious.
Is his old ass going to be at the game on Monday night? Is he traveling for that bad boy?
No.
Is there any chance we get a Ryan Day, Lou Holtz meetup pregame?
I think Ryan Day hates him.
They genuinely hate each other.
Well, I think he hates him. I think he, Lou Holtz, just loves to give hot takes.
Lou Holtz cares about Ryan.
I don't think he cares.
Doesn't care. Yeah.
And I think Ryan Day genuinely hates that old man.
Yeah, he called his football team and him as a coach soft, so you lose all the games that matter. And here he is in a national title game, and he's probably going to embarrass your program, Lou Holtz.
I think if Ryan Day could put Lou Holtz in a wheelchair, he'd want the wheelchair from the Seinfeld episode that doesn't break.
Going down
Sorry, the hill. Sorry, Lou, just stay here for a second.
We got one a little on the cheap side of things, and this thing's not going to be able to slow down going downhill.
Oh, my God.
Lou Holtz. I read Lou Holtz's autobiography.
First and 10. Do it again.
I thought of the Ken Thate back in the day. I don't know why. That was kind of more of a lisp there. Wasn't very good.
You know,
to each their own.
Yeah, it happens. You know,
that's one of those that was on my bookshelf for a while. I used to look at it and think, why did I read that?
It's Trump time.
Why did I read Lou Holtz's bio?
It's Trump time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, a lot of things happening in the next 4 years. Yes, it is.
It's Trump time.
Here we go. Get your watches. Set your time.
College football playoff, it's winding down. We've got one game left. And Heather Dinich has some reporting out. We'll get to the Beavers-Gonzaga game, by the way. Maybe in the second hour, maybe the third. I don't know when we'll get to it. Big game tonight down at Gill. I want to get to a great duping of a lady that happened. Swag's dad recently had something unfortunate happen to him. He didn't get duped. He kind of just got robbed. Yeah. And so this is the digital age is creating more and more uncertainty for people financially. There's one duping that needs to be talked about. Sal Capaccio is going to join us. He is Buffalo Bills sidelines and WGR 550. Legendary dude in Buffalo. He's been there forever. Big game in Buffalo. I don't know if you've heard.
I have heard. It's going to be a little chilly there. It's going to be a little chilly on Sunday afternoon.
There's rumors on the street that the winner of this game is going to win the Super Bowl.
I've heard that. Many people are saying that.
Many people.
Many people are telling me that the winner of this game on Sunday is going to win the Super Bowl.
And so we'll talk with Sal Capaccio for the Daily Ticker coming up at 7:30. Dinich is basically saying on the reporting of the college football playoff, we know it's going to get changed, but it's just how it's going to get changed.
Yeah.
Brett Yormark basically is like, it'd be nice if we knew criteria, because Bartu has been on this for years of like, this is their criteria, but they don't talk about it much. And so even Yormark, who's a commissioner of a Power Four conference, is like, it'd be really nice if we could figure this out. Joe Klatt has an idea that he shared with Andy Staples. He wants to create and expand the playoff to 14, and he wants to create an automatic bid structure that looks like this. Four Big Ten, four SEC, two ACC, two Big Ten, the highest-ranked champion of other leagues, one at-large, which could go to an eligible independent, such as Notre Dame. So he wants to fix the structure. A lot of fixing in the playoff. The playoff will end on Monday.
I mean, look, we all know that this is going to happen. We all can acknowledge that the structure of it didn't make a lot of sense, and I think it was pretty clear to see from the outset that this is going to be a bit of an issue when you don't have all conferences and all conference champions created equally, when you're giving out first-round buys. It just is going to make things a little wonky, and it's going to throw off the seeding. You're going to get weird matchups. I think after a pretty sluggish start, which the NFL playoffs has had as well, the games have picked up and gotten more entertaining. Texas and Arizona State was a great game. Both semifinal games were awesome. I don't have a lot of hope and optimism for the national championship, but I didn't have a lot of hope and optimism for Ohio State and Texas either, and that ended up being a classic, so maybe Monday I'm proven wrong. We all know that this is going to change. The structure is going to evolve. The hardest thing is that in this sport, we have never had a uniform policy in terms of how you build a schedule and who you play. And until you solve that, there's just like what criteria is going to matter. Some teams are allowed to play literally nobody and get into a college football playoff situation. Some teams have to play seven teams ranked inside the top 20 and they're judged fairly and equally. And that has never made any sense. And so I wish we could get to a point of uniform scheduling to Joe Klatt. I think he's argued that for many years as well.
He wants the conference athletic directors. He wants them removed from picking schedules.
Yeah.
He wants somebody or a committee or whatever.
Yeah, that would be a great start. Or, I mean, just put a formula together the way the NFL does.
First place schedule, second place schedule, third place schedule.
Well, on the year, okay.
Well, I think what you
That's interesting because, like, real quick, Swag.
Yeah.
On that idea, the first, like the Niners, my team, dead last their division, they're going to get a last place schedule next year. I don't know if it's going to benefit them. I don't know how good they're going to be. Michigan. Let's highlight Michigan. Where did they technically finish the Big Ten? Fifth? Sixth?
Probably somewhere in that range.
Ballpark, seventh.
Right? Seventh.
One, two, seventh, three, yeah. Four, five, six. Yeah, they were tied for seventh with Minnesota.
Michigan might have the next Cam Newton. There's a lot of intel. This Underwood kid is a massive human being. Maybe he's amazing year one, right? The last place schedule idea or the middle scheduling idea, it's good in theory, but in college can be so crazy unfair.
Right.
The next season, Michigan pops next year and they're playing nothing but patsies while Oregon won. And it's like difficult, 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 difficult. I don't know if you're going to like it in the moment. You know what I mean?
Well, I meant more for the non-conference games. So if the Power Four, I mean, if they really want to X everybody out, they could. They could say, okay, everybody's playing nine conference games. We're doing that. And then your other three non-conference games, we'll just rotate one from the Big 12, one from the ACC, one from the Big 10, one from the SEC. So you'll play the other three Power Four conferences, and you'll have pools. So you'll basically divide them into thirds. Based on their previous, you got to have something, even though as you
play
are
one
saying,
tier one team, one tier two team, and one
so
tier three team.
So I think if you group them, yeah, and then you do, you had like a big draw like they do for the World Cup draw for soccer when they do that, and you get it, want to be a hell of a TV show.
So interesting note here, and again, some of this is just thinking out loud to stuff that's never going to happen. Klatt said he'd like to kind of eliminate conference title games. So the ACC got two teams this year, SMU and Clemson, right? This would be like a proposal he would throw out. Instead of a conference title game, you do play-in games.
That's what Pate brought up on our show 2 months ago.
So the number four plays the number one, number three at number two. So you're getting home pseudo-playoff games. And instead of saying conference champion, because, hey, 18-team conference, how can you honestly say it's a real fair conference champion other than they did what they were asked to do? The ACC would have been, for example, Syracuse playing at SMU, Miami playing at Clemson. The winners of those games, automatic bids.
That, to me, would be an easy fix. And I would go it a step further, and I want to prioritize the regular season as well. Like, you don't want to lose the fabric of that. And to me, what I would do is I would have, especially in the Big Ten and the SEC, because we all, like, we can bitch about it all we want. They're going to get four guaranteed teams in. Like, that's just, that's going to happen in the next playoff iteration, whether we like it or not. I want to protect the sanctity of the regular season and say the top two teams in the regular season standings automatically in. And then three would play, what would it be, six, and then four would play five. And the winner of those games get the other spots. To me, it livens up conference championship week. It makes it feel a little more important instead of having conference title games where you know both teams are automatically in the playoff either way. And you had that this year, Oregon and Penn State, Georgia and Texas. It didn't matter who won or lost those games. It just shook up the seeding and overall conference bragging rights.
The only problem with that is if you start putting more games in between when you get to the playoff, I think the Ducks would tell you having a 25-day layoff between games is not good.
I think that's they're going to get rid of that long. I think that's going to be one of the fixes. Because if you go to 14 teams, I think there's no way you're going to have
a month off. You still have two buys.
Yeah, you still have two buys.
So if you have the 1 and 2 seeds, if you play in the conference championship game or what, or if you don't play in that last week, now your last game's Thanksgiving weekend and you're not playing until New Year's Day. That's the piece they got to fix the most.
I think the most universal agreement we would have on all of this stuff is, look, it's year one. We can't overreact too much. But one thing that stuck out for everybody was all the bye teams lost.
Yeah.
And so, like, to Swag's point, to your point,
it was 3.5 weeks.
Right. And I'm not saying Oregon would have beaten Ohio State. What I would say is just like,
they wouldn't have looked like that.
You're on a schedule all season.
I don't think they would have
looked that dead. Yeah, you're on a schedule all season long. You get 1 week off. That's great because you can refresh. But that's something you don't go through outside of going into the
start of the
regular season.
Yeah, they know how to handle a bye week. Yes. A bye week.
It took ASU. It took Boise. Like, they had closer games than Oregon. It took them a minute to get going a little bit, didn't
they?
They all
got off to really bad starts.
Big deficits, and you're like, oh, these games are all going to be. And they, a couple of them recovered and made it closer. But they're going to tweak stuff for sure. Dinich has got some reporting on this. Reseeding is going to be there. Conference champions won't get automatic buys.
You could let them into the playoff. That should be a thing. You want to prioritize conference championships. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I think to the point of your mark, though, of what's the criteria, how do you judge Florida and Indiana? There's no way you can do it. No other sport does this happen where Indiana was an awesome story. They played one team all year with a winning record. One all year.
No, they played Michigan.
That's the only one that they played with a winning in the regular season. I believe the only team that they beat with a winning record was Michigan. I can go back and double check.
Ohio State.
I'm saying that they beat. Sorry, my apologies.
They beat.
That
yeah,
they
okay.
beat.
Yeah,
they beat
yeah,
one
yeah.
team with a winning record all year.
Yeah.
And Florida had to play seven or eight teams that were ranked inside the top 15. Like
right.
that's the same sport, and you cannot judge those evenly.
So the title game is Monday. A lot of people thinking out loud of like, how is this going to look a year from now? Because that's the interesting part. A year from now,
it's Trump time,
and it's a new playoff time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we got 2 years on this deal, so we'll see if they change it.
Well,
this
just
off-season.
The receding yeah. stuff could be something they're immediately going to change
yeah.
now. Back with more Sal Capaccio at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. We have a listener submitting a Lou Holtz impersonation. I'll pull that during the break. We'll maybe get to that. We can grade what we think. I love it. If it's good or bad, well, you know, we'll grade it. We'll be honest with you.
You talk about ways to get on the air as a listener with calls. If you could do good impersonations of people,
oh man,
we'll take you on the air all the time.
If you got a little Caliendo in you,
yeah,
hop on the air.
If we can get a random call like every Tuesday throughout the off season from Lou Holtz just to check in, see what's going on with Lou Holtz, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
It's Trump time.
There's a lot of people trying to do that impersonation.
That there is.
We'll get to Sal Capaccio coming up, our good friend in Buffalo, New York. Big game. Is the weather report holding the same, 23 and snow?
I believe it's even colder than that now, Bob, but let me double check. I think last I saw was 11 degrees.
There's an Arctic blast about to hit America.
Sunday, we have a high of 20 degrees.
Low of 10.
That's the later game, too, correct?
Yeah, that's the late game Sunday, so it'll be 6:30 p.m.
I think they're going a feel-like temperature in the single digits with a 50% chance of snow.
Because Monday, then it clears up for a high of 12.
Yeah.
Right. Because the most entertaining possible scenario here with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Oh, don't be
Allen
such a bitch over there.
It's 10 degrees throwing a frozen rock
damn
and guys
right
dropping
is.
The football. So
You're
we can all come in Monday and say,
right
Lamar
is.
Can't do it, man. Not a clutch guy.
You got to be able to do it in cold weather. That's football. Outdoor sport.
Dome it up.
Outdoor sport.
Dome it up.
Bills are smart, not building the dome. Home field advantage. We got a quarterback that's built like a tank. You come try and win here in December.
No, you
January.
Know who's smart? Cleveland. We want Super Bowls. We want concerts. Let's dome this up.
That's because their team's irrelevant and they can't do anything on their own. Buffalo's hosting AFC Championship games,
they're
potentially.
They're going to have to go to court, but you know.
Yeah, have fun with that.
City suing them.
Yeah. Still think we should do domes.
I'm so excited for that on Sunday. We couldn't be more on opposite sides on that
aesthetically,
one.
It's going to look good. I'm
I
not
cannot
that.
Wait for
and
that.
And then you're going to watch
degrees,
it. And Lamar's going to slip on every run and not be able to complete
yeah,
a pass.
Get better cleats. It's not my fault. Get better cleats.
Yeah,
figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
It's a billion-dollar league. Figure it out. Get longer pegs on the bottom of those things.
I was listening to a Lamar cut. I almost pulled it, but I'm like, I could just explain it. And he was doing his press conference stuff, and he was basically asked about being friends and working out with guys in the offseason. What are you shaking your head about?
No, that was Lamar. He's like, why would I be friends with everybody?
Yeah, so he basically says, I'm not friends with anybody. I don't hang out with people, especially other quarterbacks in the summer. And he was asked about how cool it is that him and Josh Allen are cool. They don't have like a beef, but they're competitors. And he said, like, you know, maybe when we're older, we'll talk about how cool all of this was,
yeah.
that we got to do this and yeah. go through these
great battles and matchups.
He's in it right now.
But he's like, I want to beat you. We're not friends. I want to beat you. Like, it's right up the alley of the old NBA fan that hates the league now and goes, oh, these guys were never friends. Magic and Isaiah used to kiss, but okay. And so Lamar says this. I thought it was a great cut. And what I also realized, and there's probably other guys in this category, I don't know anything about Lamar Jackson.
I don't really either.
In the age of superstars branding yeah. themselves and doing podcasts, and you know what I know about Lamar Jackson?
He can ball.
Everybody
player.
Knows he can ball. He was told to switch positions, and his mom's his agent. I don't know anything yeah. about. Do you know anything about Lamar Jackson?
I know that he didn't take the COVID vaccine because we had to live through that era of the NFL. Other than that, that's it.
Was he in your face telling you what to
nope,
do, though?
Not at all.
Okay.
I got no issue with it whatsoever.
So he's not lying about it like Aaron Rodgers was. He just was like,
no, I'm not going to do it.
And he's sick every other week, but you know what? He still plays football.
Yeah, it's an interesting point of all the athletes that I feel like there's a backstory there, personal life, relationships. Like, the Mahomes are just shoved down your throat.
They have another kid.
Hey, look at that. I needed that update. I'm so glad Brittany Mahomes had another kid.
Josh Allen's engaged to Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah,
he doesn't throw that in your face, but, like, he's at golf tournaments.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
I don't know anything about Lamar, and I love that. I appreciate that. And I wish, if I were a professional athlete, I would want it to be that way. I don't want to do all the extra nonsense.
I don't
Easier
know.
Said than done, I grant you that. But just like there's a beautiful thing about coming, playing football, going home. Like, hey, where'd Lamar go? I don't know. We'll see you in August, man.
Swag, I don't know if I can buy what he's saying here. He's choosing as a profession to give opinions on a lot of stuff every single day, but he's saying, I don't want people to know.
Because I'm useless in every other aspect of life. I can't do anything else.
Well,
I got no other discernible
status. There's a healthy balance. Some guys are able to do it right and still, like how Jeter did it in New York all those years.
Well, he paid people off with gift baskets.
Well, that's
exactly
what you got to do.
NDAs is how Derek Jeter did it.
But no, I think. You know, especially when you get to that level, if you know, being able to do charitable stuff and having events, I think what Matt Stafford, the way he's kind of gone about it,
Stafford's in sleep mattress commercials, right? Like Lamar's,
does he have any commercials?
I don't know if he's got anything locally or not.
He might. Well, the Stafford spot is national because I've seen it. Him and his wife have different temperature beds.
Right.
I don't know if you know.
I mean, you have to have different temps when you sleep.
You do, especially if you're a football player.
It's a big deal.
And Lamar, I think, had a commercial. I can't remember the company, but like he's not in advertising. He doesn't do podcasts.
All about football right now, which is great.
That's all he cares about is football and being good. And I'm not saying that that's like the better way to do it. All these guys are going to do what's best for them.
I think what I'm finding is I see more press conferences and see more quotes from him like that are truly authentic to him.
Yeah.
And
he's not an amazing interview, but he kind of just says what he says and then moves on.
But if you're there and he decides to just be honest with you, it's great. And I find myself liking what he's about more and more.
I've always rooted for that guy, man.
In this day and age, to be able to, or not be able, but to like choose to not kind of be everywhere.
Social media, public, out there. Yeah.
Two-time, maybe almost three-time league MVP.
Yeah, he's a strong argument this year.
He could do and be in anything if he was like aggressively trying to be. And in a world where we talked yesterday about how many people in our own bubble that nobody else knows that portrays this fakeness of life, that dude could be doing what all these other athletes are doing. He just doesn't.
Respect the hell out of him, man.
And it's a very different approach in the year of 2025.
Rams fans are chiming in, too, saying, check the weather in Philly. Looks like we got snow and cold in Philly on Sunday as well.
You should be in L.A. Don't
So two snow games potentially this weekend.
All right. Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
Can't
double dip the snow.
13-9 final.
I can't wait. You bite your tongue over
there. It's going to be great.
It's going to be 47-44 in a blizzard.
Josh would have scored on that touchdown, but he slipped. There's ice on the field.
I think they got heated fields. I don't think they get ice on the field.
It's just crazy. Like, just comp these two like superstar personality types in the country. We know nothing about Lamar Jackson, maybe looming three-time MVP. And a guy on Monday will become the leader of the country.
It's Trump time.
And he's doing commercials. He's
selling watches, baby.
He's selling watches.
You need a watch? I got a watch.
It's interesting times. Let's get to the Daily Ticker. Sal Capaccio in Buffalo, New York. What does he make of my dumb theory? Probably hates it. He's been in Buffalo a long time. We'll get his thoughts on the Ravens and Bills. Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing, your local coastal brewery. Independently brewing since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing, proudly serving hoppy beverages for everyone. Grab your favorite Pelican brew or try Pelican's hop-infused sparkle hops featuring fun fruit flavors and zero alcohol. Sparkle into the new year with Pelican Brewing's non-alcoholic sparkle hops. Let's go to Buffalo, where unquestionably the biggest game of the weekend, the most exciting game of the weekend of the division round of the playoffs, Bills and Ravens. Joining us now is our good friend, Sal Capaccio. I look forward to these every year. Whenever Buffalo's in the playoffs, we get Sal on. He's always gracious at this time. Bill's sideline reporter.
Did you see, Dirt, real quick before we bring Sal on, did you see Sal was on a ESPN Bills Mafia feature? It
Hell
was really
cool. I love it, man. WGR 550 in Buffalo. Sal Sports on Twitter. Let's start with the most important thing that we always ask, Sal. What's the weather forecast? What are we looking at for Sunday?
Very cold, guys. Glad to be with you again. It is going to be a high of maybe 10 degrees, single digits, during the game, and wind chill factor is a little bit below zero. I think we're kind of embracing it and welcoming it here in Buffalo because over the last several years, the Bills have really played well in that weather. Josh Allen has been excellent in that type of weather. As long as it's no precipitation, which there is a little bit of a chance of snow and not much wind, which there will be a little bit, you know, you can play in that. And I think that the stats that we dug up, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry have never, neither of them ever played a game below like 20 degrees, I believe.
Sal, one thing that's trending on this show, at least today and has been for a while, my co-host thinks you guys should have a dome in Buffalo. Okay, do you agree with
erroneous,
that?
Erroneous. I love snow football.
It's a really good debate here. So I don't know if you guys know, there is a new stadium going up across the street from the current stadium. It'll be one more year in this stadium, and then they'll move in there in 2026. Here's the deal. They polled, when they were going through the process, they polled Bills fans and season ticket holders. And generally the response was, we don't mind being cold, we just don't like being wet, right? So there's going to be a canopy, much like you see maybe in Seattle or Miami, covering 64% of the seats. And the ones that aren't covered, they're going to have access to heating areas and go under the clubs and things like that. The way the stadium is designed, it's going to have an incredible incredible technology with snow removal system on the top of the canopy and things like that. And it's a pretty good compromise. I think, you know, outdoor football is a culture here in Buffalo and people love it that way. So, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of people who would still wish there would be a dome. You're also talking about another $500 million to make sure that happens.
Not a bad take, Dirt. That's what Sal said. You had a good take.
This is exactly why Sal knows what he's talking about, and I can't wait to watch snow football this weekend in Buffalo. It's going to be awesome. Let's get to the matchup, Sal. Sal Capaccio, our guest, Bill sideline reporter. I'm just curious what the feeling of the fan base is. I mean, you go through so many of these runs. Like, Buffalo's going nowhere. Josh Allen's going nowhere. This isn't the last time they're going to be in the playoffs. But the longer you go on these runs, the more the pressure builds. Just what's the feeling like, and how do they feel about the matchup against Baltimore this weekend?
Well, I think the Bills are feeling really good about how they're playing right now. You know, this offense has really kind of been on a roll for most of the year. And, of course, you know, they had a few games at the end of the year where they knew they were in the two seed. Yeah, they wanted the one seed, but they didn't kind of maybe have their fastball because there were a lot of things they maybe weren't showing. But that being said, the way they played last week against the Denver Broncos, against that defense putting up 31 points, I think they feel really good. It's really kind of the perfect way that Sean McDermott has always wanted to play football. This is probably the best running back room the Bills have had in the Josh Allen era. You have James Cook, Ty Johnson, Ray Davis. They can all do a lot of different things. Ty Johnson's an excellent third down back. And then you have Josh Allen, of course, and he's always got it going to sprinkle in some magic and put the cape on. Defensively, they've been susceptible against the run. The Ravens beat the heck out of him in week four because Derrick Henry, first play of the game, 87 yards. That's the concern, right? That, you know, if Derrick Henry gets going, it's going to be a tough, long day. That being said, the Bills, you know, that's how they're built. They're built to kind of invite you to run on them because they want to make sure they don't get beat over the top. They want to make sure they don't get beat on big plays and make it easy and make you grind out. So I think that's the kind of game they want to, you know, force the Ravens to have to play. As much as it might be tough, you know, to have Derrick Henry running, I think that they would welcome, you know, the fact that, hey, you can run on us a little bit. We're going to make sure we tighten up in the red zone, and we're going to stop number 22 when it matters.
How jarring was that? Buffalo had such a good season this year, Sal, and a lot of people were wondering what it was going to be without Diggs and no real, like, true number one in the traditional sense. Allen might win the MVP. They've had a good year. They're the two seed. They haven't had many games this year. In fact, that might be the only one top of my head I can think of where even if they lost, like, to a Rams, they came back, made it tight, interesting. How jarring was it to see the Ravens do that to this Buffalo Bills team? And is it just as simple as what you said there? Make those tweaks defensively, and it's a much different game than when they played earlier this season.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people realize, but in that game, this is not an excuse. The Ravens deserve all the credit. They kicked the Bills' tail that game. But in that game, the Bills were missing all three defenders at the second level. Their middle linebacker Terrell Bernard didn't play. Weak side linebacker Matt Milano didn't play. And nickel cornerback Taron Johnson didn't play. Yeah. The last two of those three are all pros. They were a couple of years ago, and that was a really big deal. They had backups at both linebacker spots, backup at nickel corner, and that made a difference, no doubt about it. It was also early in the season, first really big road test for the Bills, very tough environment to play, and I think a lot of those factors played in. And once the Ravens were off to a really good start, it just became tough for the Bills to catch up. Khalil Shakir, the Bills, now I'd say number one receiver, even though they don't really have a true, you know, alpha number one, like in that sense. He also got hurt early on in that game, really couldn't do much. So I think the Bills feel like they didn't have their best day. There's no doubt about it. I also think they feel that there were some circumstances there that led to them not having their best day. Tip the cap to the Ravens, no doubt about it. You know, they really did a great job that day. But I do think it goes a little bit deeper than just, hey, You know, make it a couple of tweaks. I think the personnel that was on the field also matters as well here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Sal Capaccio, our guest. He's sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills, WGR 550 in Buffalo, at Sal Sports on Twitter. Go give him a follow. I don't remember if we talked to him in the offseason going into the year, but I remember us discussing on our show the idea of Diggs being gone and what's Buffalo's offense going to look like. You lose the number one wide receiver. How's Josh Allen going to handle it? I mean, I guess, is how impressed are you with the way that the offense has kind of evolved as the season has gone on? And then how do you feel? You mentioned Shakir and the numbers that he's put up, being banged up maybe early in the season. How do you feel about that wide receiver group now that it's playoff time and they're going to have to come up with big plays?
Well, listen, it's really interesting. It was the number one thing we talked about for a long time, going all the way back to the draft. And you guys remember the draft when I can't believe the Bills let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy, right? And you know, and they traded with the Chiefs and the Bills grabbed Keon Coleman. And it's just been such a talking point. It's so interesting to follow all year. The Bills went into this year with one wide receiver in the entire roster that caught a pass from Josh Allen last year or ever, and that is Khalil Shakir, right? And, you know, there were a lot of questions about that. They kind of gone with a bunch of no-name guys. But what's happened, guys, is their mantra is everybody eats. And really, that's kind of what happened with this team, and they've really adhered to that. When you have a really great corner, for last week's a great example. Patrick Surtain is one of the best in the business. We all know that, for the Denver Broncos. Like, there's nobody really for the Bills to say, like, who are you going to match up on? Because that's fine. There's nobody for you to take away because we're going to go in all different directions here. And I think that's kind of made a real good benefit to the Bills. The other thing that's happened is they've really brought in a wide receiver core that is very good at, you know, a lot of things, including blocking. When those guys are on the field, teams don't know what's coming. And that's really helped the run game. They ran for 210 yards last week against the Denver Broncos. And then on top of that, they have two excellent pass-catching tight ends in Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. And I'll go back to the running back room again. They have three very good pass-catching running backs as well. And Ty Johnson has been awesome this year out of the backfield catching passes. So the Bills really, you know, they spread it out. It's not about having one or two wide receivers.
Sal, I apologize for, I think we've asked you this before. I apologize for not knowing or remembering. What year was your first year covering Bills, being in Buffalo, like really getting a feel for it?
Well, I grew up here. I had season tickets in some of the Super Bowl years in the 90s, and I was a poor college student taking a Greyhound bus back from Syracuse University from some of the home games. Yes. And then I lived in Florida for quite a while, following the team from afar. I moved back here in 2011. I've been covering the team on the radio since 2011. I've actually been the radio sideline reporter since 2014. This is my 11th year.
Okay, so you've had some down years mixed in with some great years when you were growing up in that area. I hate to put you on the spot. Yeah. I said this Monday, I said it Tuesday. My hottest take is I think the Super Bowl winner is coming out of this game. I'm a big believer in the Bills and Ravens. I don't know how the game's going to go, and I know you have a lot of history here. Where does this game rank of just, holy crap, I'm excited? I know they played a couple years ago, but these two feel like they've taken steps. They're both in the MVP conversation. Maybe a chance to take down the Chiefs finally. Where is this one just in the excitement level for you?
Well, very exciting, right? I mean, like, this is the kind of football we dreamed of when they went 17 years with not having any playoff appearances, right? A long playoff drought. And we just wanted to be in the conversation. We just wanted to have, you know, to be in the spotlight. And here we are. And it's been seven out of the last 8 years making the playoffs. So from that aspect, of course, it's very exciting. I tell people all the time, you know, you have to take every year and really appreciate it and what this team has and Josh Allen. That being said, guys, you know, excitement's a word, but I will say a lot of nervousness, too, because these are the two teams that both have not been able to get over the hump, right? I mean, these two teams have, in this era, I believe, the most wins over the last – my colleague on the radio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, he tweeted out a stat, which was amazing, said, in the history of the NFL, these two teams have the most wins over any seven-year period without making a Super Bowl appearance. And, you know, that's amazing. The Bills have lost to – the Chiefs in some heartbreaking fashion. You remember 13 seconds back in 21. Remember here at home last year, they were really banged up and they came down to the final drive. They couldn't get it done. They lost to the Bengals at home. The Ravens, right? They had a home game in the AFC Championship last year against the Chiefs and they couldn't win. Like, this is kind of the narrative around these teams. Somebody's going to hopefully beat that narrative this year. But let's remember, even if they win this week, you still got to probably beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think from that aspect, there's a lot of nervousness because both these sides, it's more about maybe who loses on the national scale than it is about who wins, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we did that segment yesterday talking about the nuance, especially around the quarterback who falls short in this game of can we be level-headed on Monday? And I know we won't be level-headed on Monday, but that's the way we operate. Last one for you, Sal. How tough was that first winter back in Buffalo after living in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? For me, it wasn't that bad. Yeah. I had actually, you know, I grew up here, so it was all good. I mean, when you get past football season, especially when the team isn't that good, it ends a little bit earlier. Right. And then you're sitting there in January and February and like, all right, when is this weather going to change a little bit? So you know what? This is what we've done here, right? That's honestly, right. Like my family and I, you guys know I got a brother lives in McMinnville. He's listening right now. So we will, every once in a while, like we'll take what we'll do is we'll take a vacation after football season at some point, end of February, early March.
Yeah.
Go somewhere warm, get away from it, get away, recharge the batteries a bit, whether that's Florida. Go out to Oregon to visit my brother. Go somewhere else. So yeah, that you try to make sure that you remember that it's gonna be cold and it's okay and you can still get away for a little while.
Has Sal Capaccio gone through a table yet? Have you done that in your life?
That is not my deal. Okay. I have no problem with other people doing it. It's not me. I don't do things like that. I'm just trying to get through the day as a 51-year-old dude who still plays some flag football, all right? I mean, like, I don't want to ruin myself for playing on Monday night. it's a thing that's happened here. And, you know, I'm glad you guys brought up that Bills Mafia piece that was on ESPN
last
week.
Right? It was really funny.
It was really good. And, you know, Adam Schefter was, like, the unintended villain, how all it happened. But I think, you know, it's funny you ask that question. I always get asked, like, what is Bills Mafia about? And it's not about breaking tables. That's kind of what you see on the viral videos. What it really has become is this incredible, you know, vehicle for people to really do good for others, right? And Del Reed, the founder, he has a company called 26 Shirts where, like, they sell T-shirts with Buffalo-themed and Splashy Bills-themed stuff, and those proceeds go to a lot of people in need, right? That's what Bills Mafia is about, the donations you see coming in. And I think that because people see the breaking tables, it's funny and fun things like that. That's not truly, I always want to say, like, what it is about. It's about these other great things. But, hey, if you're having fun along the way, just stay safe, right?
Yeah, that's great stuff, man. We cannot wait. Shout out to your brother in McMinnville. Sal Capaccio is his name. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Sal Sports. Bill Sideline Reporter, WGR 550 in Buffalo. He's one of our favorites. Stay warm Sunday, and hopefully we can catch up again soon, Sal.
All right, you guys got it. Thanks a lot.
There you go. Sal Capaccio, really good stuff.
Hey, you didn't hate your idea.
How dare you? How dare you make me look like a candy ass in front of our guest in Buffalo?
I mean, it sounds like a lot of people in
the
Buffalo.
The people in Buffalo are proud, they're prideful, they're tough, and they said, no, we don't need a dome. Just cover a little bit of the stadium and we'll be fine.
He didn't give us the percentage vote on that. I bet you that was almost 50-50 dome.
No, that's, they're not
and those
soft
people
there.
Live there.
They're not soft there. They know real football, and they know it's snow football Sunday in Buffalo. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you, as always, by Pelican Brewing, proudly serving hoppy beverages for everyone. Grab your favorite Pelican brew or try Pelican's hop-infused sparkle hops featuring fun fruit flavors and zero alcohol. Sparkle a little into the new year with Pelican Brewing's non-alcoholic sparkle hops. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour. Some more lingering thoughts on divisional round next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver. Vancouver online at crunch.com. A couple of college football notes I want to get to at the top of the hour, including a story that just came out on a coach's contract and a rumor about what one player turned down. What percentage chance do we give this to be true?
I am rooting so hard for one of those stories to go the way that many in America think it's going
to
go.
It would be really funny if it did, to be honest with you. Unfortunately, I am the bearer of very bad news in this segment because end of the last segment, just as we were going to break, I saw it come across. Bob Uecker has passed away. Longtime Milwaukee Brewers play-by-play man on the radio side of things. He passed away at the age of 90, played in the big leagues. Everybody remembers him from Major League, Miller Lite commercials.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and I still joke to each other to this day whenever we go to a sporting event, hey, maybe we're in the front row as he's walking up and down the aisles. He is an absolute icon, one of the greatest to ever do it, one of the best senses of humor that you've ever heard from abroad. A class act, a beloved figure in the sport of baseball, and a tragic day for the broadcasting and baseball community.
A bad day, but also a celebration day. 90 years old is a day to celebrate and talk about how awesome that run is. He had a really good feature, and I can't remember if it's MLB Network or ESPN. They did on him this year. And it was, you know, he doesn't call games every day, but he still goes to the ballpark.
I think he was done traveling. Yeah. I think he just did home games.
Yeah, he wasn't traveling, but he was at the ballpark every day. And they showed, like, behind the scenes, all the players, the coaches, the staff made his rounds. Just loved to talk ball. Just always staying involved with it. I don't know how you don't still like hear his voice or mimic things he said, whether on real broadcasts or in the movie.
Just
a bit outside. Like, yeah. It's an iconic life that this guy lived.
One of one, for certain. There will be. And if you can't, you know, you think life's hard or, you know, what, just take his approach. He just appreciated every opportunity he had, as grandiose as they might have been, even just to the small personal encounters. He loved just meeting individual fans out there in Milwaukee, and where he made his home for most of his career, and couldn't be more proud of what he did and what he got to do.
It's one of those moments, and I do this a lot. Sometimes I forget, but I'm thankful that I did. I remember, and I remember talking about it because somebody had reached out and found, you know, had asked me how is there a way to do this, and you unfortunately had to have the MLB at-bat app to do it. But I remember they played the Mets in the playoffs last year, and they lost in heartbreaking fashion. Remember they had that big lead, and then was it Alonso that hit the home run, and the Mets came back and won the game, and they were trying to continue on. They were facing elimination in the first round of the playoffs, and I remember thinking to myself going into that game, he's 90 years old, and he's calling the game tonight.
Crazy.
And you just don't know how many more of these you're going to get. And I listened to the broadcast of his of the game. If you had the MLB app, you can go find the local radio broadcast, and I listened to it. And it was so fun to hear him call. He was still sharp as ever, calling a baseball game at 90. Mm-hmm. Imagine working at 90, let alone having the vocal ability to, you know, the critical thinking ability to, you know, sometimes I struggle with that, and I'm only 35 years old, right? So it was one of those moments when I saw that news. I was like, man, I'm glad that I was able to catch that. And it's just, we've lost a lot. I mean, Vince Scully a couple years ago, Bob Uecker. I mean, how many legends do we have left in the broadcasting community in baseball? A sport that has always been so connected to their known broadcasters for many, many years. Like John Miller is this for the Giants. Every time I get a chance to listen to John Miller call the game, I jump at the opportunity. But you're starting to lose some of these. Dave Niehaus, obviously, a number of years ago that passed. So a lot of these guys have been around the game forever. Bob Uecker was a Major League Baseball player in like the mid-1960s.
Yeah.
He's 90 years old. Like, think about what he saw in the game. He was on The Tonight Show over 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
He hosted Saturday Night Live.
Hosted Saturday Night Live.
As a play-by-play guy in Major League Baseball.
ABC sitcom, Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah. Like, man, one of a kind.
Well, you mentioned that, and like today, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm not really sad. I saw that feature.
Yeah.
He basically was like, he's just grateful for every day that he had after. And
no, that you will, yes, when people get this news, they'll be like, there will be sad for a moment. And then the minute you start thinking of,
you're just going to start laughing at all the funny things that he said.
Laughing.
Family, commercials, sad. I think people like us more like celebrate and kind of just think. You know who's kind of in the background here of this topic you're bringing up? And he's going to call a playoff game. Al Michaels is 80.
Al Michaels is close.
By the way,
80.
80. That's, and people like criticize him for having not as much energy as he wants. I'm like, he's 80.
He doesn't eat vegetables, too. That's part of the problem. It's all protein for Al Michaels.
Well, he's going to live to be 105. What was the secret? I drank scotch and never ate vegetables.
Red meat four times a day, baby.
It's all you need. So, yeah, there's just, I know for swag, this is, not that it doesn't impact people like you that grew up with your dad listening to him, but like people like Swag, like we just all get to a point where a lot of those names start to get older and older and older, and it's kind of a reminder of like father time, you know?
Somebody texted in, one of our P1s, the front row line and just a bit outside will live on forever with me, just like Whoa Nelly.
I still say it when I watch a Braves game.
Just a bit outside. I remember being a college broadcaster trying to figure out, is this what I want to do, and having to call on local campus radio a softball game.
We need that.
And I had never done play-by-play. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm trying to memorize the names. I don't know what's happening. And what do you do? You just mimic the things that you've heard.
Oh,
and
for sure.
Probably in that first broadcast used just a bit outside 27 times. Just a bit outside on that one. Because that's all you know how to do. Bob Uecker, RIP, 90 years old, legendary figure in the sports broadcasting and baseball world, passing away this morning. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. Let's start the final hour with some college football notes. Do we believe any of this? Also, would you be nervous if you were this fan base? I got a couple of NBA things I want to get into for Spray because my co-host just bitches all the time. So let's talk some NBA in the final hour and a little division around peekaboo. So don't go anywhere. Loaded final hour, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.